The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on September 18, 1983 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, Verse 140.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadharo Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarini Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukha Kuruti Vacharam Pamburam Gayate Giringati Patamaham Vande Sri Gurum Ninatayinam Text 140, Chapter 19, Madhya Lila. This is a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam commentary. Keshagra sata bhagasya satamsa sadishatmaka jiva sukshma swarupoyam sankyati tohi chitkana. Translation. If we divide the tip of a hair into 100 parts and then take one of these parts and divide it again into 100 parts, that very fine division is the size of but one of the numberless living entities. They are all chitkona, particles of spirit, not matter. Translation. If we divide the tip of a hair,
into
100 parts.
Into 100 parts.
And then take one of these parts.
And then take one of these parts.
And divide it again.
And divide it again.
Into 100 parts.
Into 100 parts.
That very fine division.
That very fine division.
The size of but one.
The size of but one.
Of the numberless living entities.
Of the numberless living entities.
They are all chitkona.
They are all chitkona.
Particles of spirit, not matter.
Particles of spirit, not matter.
Report by Prabhupada. This is quoted from the commentary on the portion of Srimad Bhagavatam wherein the Vedas personified offer their obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:7. Mavai Bhamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Living entities in this conditional world are my eternal fragmental parts. Lord Shri Krishna personally identifies himself with the minute living entities. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Spirit, the Super Soul, and the living entities are his very minute parts and parcels. Of course, we cannot divide the tip of a hair into such fine particles. But spiritually, such small particles can exist. Spiritual strength is so powerful that a mere atomic portion of spirit can be the biggest brain in the material world. The same spirit spark is within an ant and within the body of Brahma. According to his karma, material activities, the spiritual spark attains a certain type of body. Material activities are carried out in goodness, passion, and ignorance, or a combination of these. According to the mixture of the modes of material nature, the living entity is awarded a particular type of body. This is the conclusion. There's another similar verse quoted here. Balagya satabhagasya satatha kalpitasya cha bhago jiva savigneya iti cha aparasvati. Translation. If we divide the tip of a hair into 100 parts, and then take one part and divide this into another 100 parts, that 10,000 part is the dimension of a living entity. This is the verdict of the chief Vedic mantras purport. The first three padas of this verse from the Panchadasi Chitra Deepa 81 are taken from the Svetasvata Upanishad 5.9. So, here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Rupa Goswami not only that there is a soul in the body, but the dimension of that soul. Previously, he explained there are 8,400,000 species of life, and that the soul is wandering by the process of transmigration or reincarnation, it's commonly known as, is migrating in these various species, of which the human species is considered to be the most advanced. That will be described later, of course. But now he's explaining that what is the nature of that spiritual spark, that it is a chit kona. Kona means like a fragment or a small part, particle. The chit means the conscious, spiritual. A chit kona means it's a spiritual particle, different from the other atoms, molecules, and so on. They do not have their own consciousness. They are rather blind mechanisms of the material energy. But that small particle, chitkona, chit means cognizant. The small spiritual spark known as the jiva atma, or the spirit soul, is conscious. It is alive. This is the difference between matter and the spirit. Bodies of material nature are activated when the driver is present within them. There are so many science fiction stories about computers coming to life. It's a big fear everyone has that the computers are going to come alive and take over everything. The bare machine of this material nature in whatever form cannot have actual consciousness without the initiative of a spirit soul. Even the computer itself is programmed by a living person. So, similarly, in this whole material world, even though we do not see Krishna now, he originally initiated the activities. And then naturally things are going on. And what is making everything move is the mixture of spirit and matter. Because the spirit soul is present, there is action in the world. Otherwise, on its own, matter is motionless. It takes someone to start the engine in the automobile. The driver is necessary. The driver is the spirit soul. More about the soul. Sukshanamapyaham jivaha. Among minute particles. I am the living entity. Translation. Among minute particles.
Among minute particles.
I am the living entity.
I am the living entity.
Purport. The living entity is one with and different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As spirit soul, the living entity is one in quality with the Supreme Lord. However, the Supreme Lord is bigger than the biggest. The living entity is the smallest of the small. The quote is the third pada of a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:16-11. So, the living entity is the most minute particle by Krishna's admission. Therefore, the spirit soul can enter into a body or even into the minute ovum or seed or original seed state of the human bodies or other forms of bodies, plant, fish, whatever it may be, can enter right in there because it is so minute, the most minute particle. There's no problem to enter in. We can walk in, if you look from a distance at a forest, it appears to be one solid wall. But when you get close, you find there's quite some distance between each tree you can walk through. Similarly, the spirit soul is able to enter through. It even appears to be a wall of atoms because it is so minute. And the soul is kept afloat in the body on five types of airs. The Astanga, Eightfold Mystic Yoga system, is the system through breathing exercises and meditation, finally samadhi, of controlling those airs and moving the spirit soul to different chakras or spiritual power centers in the body. This is a mechanical system. You see, the process of bhakti yoga is an automatic system based upon elevating the consciousness surrounding the soul until the pure consciousness of the spirit soul is visible and manifest. So although the spirit soul is quite minute, but the spirit has its unique position. One time Srila Prabhupada explained, what is the meaning of a king or a president if he doesn't have any citizens? What is the meaning of Supreme Lord if he doesn't have anyone to be the Lord of? What is the meaning of the sun if it doesn't have any sunlight? But sun is one, and the sunlight particles are unlimited, practically speaking. Yet, each one has its part to play. There has to also be particles of sunlight. Otherwise, the sun doesn't have any meaning. It's not complete, in a sense. So, Krishna expands himself, thus although he is complete in himself, by expanding himself into so many minute living entities, each of them being a person, each of them having a similar qualities to Krishna, only in a minute quantity. Thus Krishna has expanded his whole activities in a most wonderful way. We should, each one of us, feel that although we may be a very small particle, that relationship with Krishna is indeed unique, it is valuable, and that is most important. Although we might be insignificant in our size compared to Krishna, Yet he is so kind that he is also willing to reciprocate with us on an equal level. Since we are of the same spiritual nature, just like a small baby might be insignificant compared to the mother or father, they might be Rockefellers or Fords or whoever it may be. Some big people, that child may not have any comparison at that point in time. So we are also directly a product or expansion of Krishna, but we are very minute. So on one hand, we are very infinitesimal. On the other hand, because we are part of Krishna, we do have a permanent, eternal, you can call it a birthright, or you can call it a real relationship with Krishna, and that is actually most valuable. To realize our real position is incomparable with anything else. You see, artificially people may try to put themselves in a position of being God. That is useless, to put oneself in an artificial position. But to realize one's real position, by the very definition, we are actually satisfied in our actual position. So, that is the goal of self-realization, is to realize the Self and the Supreme Self. So, the first thing we should know is that there is a Self, you see, which modern science is not quite clear about. And so Lord Chaitanya is going on to explain more about these spirit entities. Aparimita dhruvasthanu
beto yadisarva gatas tadhi nasasya tediniyam adhruvane taratha Ajanicha yanamoyam tadabimucha mirantri bhavet sarmam anujanatam yat amatam mata dushtataya.
Translation. O Lord, although the living entities who have accepted material bodies are spiritual and unlimited in number, if they were all pervading, there would be no question of their being under your control. If they are accepted, however, as particles of the eternally existing spiritual entity, as part of you, who are the supreme spirit whole, we must conclude that they are always under your control. If the living entities are simply satisfied with being identical with you as spiritual particles, then they will be happy being controllers of so many things. The conclusion that the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are one and the same is a faulty conclusion. It is not a fact. Report. This verse, which is also from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.30, was spoken by the personified Vedas. Text 40. Tarmadde stava jangam duived jangame tarshakha jala tarjakha jala stala chavived tarmadde stava jangam duived jangame tarjakha jala stala chavived. Translation. The unlimited living entities can be divided into two divisions, those that can move and those that cannot move. Among living entities that can move, there are birds, aquatics, and animals. Translation. The unlimited living entities can be divided
into two divisions.
Those that can move.
Those that can move.
Those that cannot move.
Those that cannot move.
Among living entities that can move.
Among living entities that can move.
There are birds.
There are birds.
Aquatics.
Aquatics.
And animals.
And animals.
Report. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving clear instructions on how Living entities live under different conditions. There are trees, plants, and stones that cannot move, but still they must be considered living entities or spiritual sparks. The soul is present in bodies like those of trees, plants, and stones. They are all living entities. Among moving living entities such as birds, aquatics, and animals, the same spiritual spark is there. As stated herein, there are living entities that can fly, swim, and walk. We must also conclude that there are living entities that can move within fire and ether. Living entities have different material bodies composed of earth, water, fire, and ether. The words Tara Madde mean within this universe. The entire material universe is composed of five material elements. It is not true that living entities reside only within this planet and not within others. Such a conclusion is completely contradictory to the Vedas, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:24. Achedyo yam adhyo yam akledyo sosha evacha nitya sarvagatastanor achalo yam sanatana. Translation. This individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble and can be neither burned nor dried. He is everlasting, all-pervading, unchangeable, immovable, and eternally the same. Unquote. The soul has nothing to do with the material elements. Any material element can be cut to pieces, especially earth. As far as a living entity is concerned, however, it can neither be burned nor cut to pieces. It can therefore live within fire. We can conclude that there are also living entities within the sun. Why should living entities be denied the planet, this planet, or that planet? According to the Vedas, living entities can live anywhere and everywhere, on land, in water, in air, and in fire. Whatever the condition, the living entity is unchangeable, sthanu. From the statements of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhagavad Gita, we are to conclude that living entities are everywhere throughout the universe. They are distributed as trees, plants, aquatics, birds, human beings, and so on. Thus in the purport to text 144. So, the soul is not having anything to do with the material elements. Because it can't be burned, can't be destroyed, that means it can live in any circumstance. Therefore, if a body is created suitable to live in fire, the soul could live there because the soul will not be destroyed by fire or by anything. Nowadays, people are very attracted to Superman, number 1, 2, and 3. But actually, even Superman has his weaknesses, according to the concoction of the writer, you see. But the living entity doesn't have any weakness in terms of destructibility. It's indestructible. So, when we achieve our pure Krishna consciousness, then we come to the platform of realizing the self. That is actually what we're hankering for. Nobody wants to die. No one wants to go through the changes of material life. And until we come to the platform of God-realization, self-realization, then we're always going to be subjected to the various conditions of the material world. Once you realize that we're not this body, even materially, when we theoretically, even when we realize that we are the spirit soul, in a general way, then immediately we become relieved from so many material miseries and so many material anxieties. That is the first step in actually becoming self-realized. Someone who at least thoroughly, theoretically understands, whether practically realized, but thoroughly understand or not, thoroughly understands and accepts the fact that he's not the body, he's a spirit soul, and he's, as she is acting accordingly. So, today being the appearance day of Brahmana Dev, last night we discussed regarding Brahmana Dev. Also today is the appearance of Jayadeva. So Jayadeva, of course, was a great devotee of Lord Krishna. He wrote the Gita Govinda, which was read by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri during his stay there. One of the very intimate books on the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, on Lord Krishna, excuse me. And Jayadeva, anyone know where Jayadeva was born? Thinking Jayadeva was born because of Jayapur. He was born in Navadvipa. He was born in the holy Dham of Lord Chaitanya. His birthplace, Jayadevita, is just about 200 yards ahead in front of the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Towards the Ganges?
Towards the Ganges. He was, he appeared 1,000 years ago. At that time, Navadvipa was made the capital of the whole Bengal by the then king, either Lakshmana Sen or Balal Sen, I forget the two, son and grandfather, one of the two. Lakhan and Balal Sen. Balal Sen from the, in Mayapur, there's a Balal Dighi that comes from Balal Sena. He dug the big lake there. Many pastimes. So Jayadev, he was residing in Navadvipa, and the king wanted that he would become one of the ministers or something, because he was the greatest poet. He was really proud that the greatest poet was living in his kingdom. So one day, the king came to see him. So when the king came to see him, then Jayadev said that now I've been insulted. But a worldly man has come to see me. How can I live here? He says, now I'm going to leave this city of Navadvipa. I'm not going to remain here any longer. I don't want anything to do with materialistic people. It's against the principle of Vaishnavism to associate with materialistic people like kings and other people in the mode of passion with ignorance. So, he was actually testing the king. And the king offered his obeisances immediately and said that I most fallen, you are an exalted Vaishnava, please forgive me for this offense. But I beg you not to leave my kingdom, that we need the association, the blessing of great Vaishnavas like yourself. And a fallen person like myself will never come and disturb you again, I can assure you, but do not leave my kingdom. So when Jayadeva saw the king was so humble, in fact, insulting him to his face, he still tolerated, rather apologized. He was quite satisfied and could see the king was himself actually a Vaishnava. So he said, since I said I will go, out of Navadvipa, I'll go, but I'll just stay across the river in Chapanti. And you can also come and see me, but don't come as a king, you come in ordinary Vaishnava dress in disguise, and you can come and see me. I won't mind. Jayadev, he took his residence up in a place known as Champahati, which is said to be a private garden of Radharani and her gopis. And they would get garlands for Krishna made of the Golok Champa. They would have their private garden there, and by their supernatural powers, they would go there and pick the Champa flowers and go back to Vrindavan and give to Krishna. So after that, after the Dwarpa Yuga was over, they had so many Champa trees, so that it became a big market for Champa trees. So Hatta means, Nama Hatta means the market, so Champa Hatti means the market of Champa flowers. It's in the island of Ritu Dweep, near the place where Lord Krishna saved Bhima from being killed by the Samudra Raja, Samudra Sena. There, Jayadev was able to have the darshan of Lord Chaitanya and his form of Radha as Radha Krishna. But then Lord Chaitanya told him to go to Jagannath Puri, because Lord Jagannath wanted him to go there. And he went there and wrote the Dasavatar Stotram in Jagannath Puri. So like this, there are many great devotees in our disciplic succession, and they have services which are completely intimate and on the transcendental platform to perform to Krishna and to his representatives. So similarly, even today, spreading the Harinam Sankirtan movement for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also a direct intimate service to Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada very clearly states that those who are serving Lord Chaitanya by the Harinam Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy names and preaching the glories of Lord Krishna, they are actually performing a direct personal service to the Lord. And therefore, they are considered to be confidential devotees. So, today we can request and beg for the blessings of Vamanadeva. That Vamanadeva said that his real mercy is when one has all opulence and all facilities, yet does not become proud or ever think that these are due to one's own previous activities. And by his mercy, one is able to remain ever surrendered at his lotus feet. Similarly, Jayadev, by his blessing, we can understand the inner significance of worshipping Krishna in his most sublime form. So we are always hankering for their mercy. Today, especially on the occasion of their appearance. In places where they have Shaligram Shilas at 12 noon, when Vamanadeva appears, they normally do an Abhishek before the noon arti. I don't think we have a Shaligram here. I guess it doesn't apply. You could probably even Abhishek. We have small little deities. If somebody wanted to do such a puja, they could. Because today is Dwadasi, so we fast yesterday in Ekadasi. In Dwadasi, you're not to fast, you're only to feast. Jai Vamanadeva ki!
Jai!
Jai Deva Gosami ki!
Jai!
Jai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki!
Jai!
Jai Sri Prabhupada ki!
Jai!
Yes?
Yes?
That was not an ordinary vision. That was a vision. Yeah, especially, you can see Lord Chaitanya today. It wasn't during Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, but he was worshipping intensely Lord Chaitanya, and he got special darshan, extraordinary.
But I just wonder how long he lived.
He didn't live that long. See, I don't know exactly. I don't think he lived more than 100 years. I mean, he didn't. He lived the normal whatever people used to live in those days. Yes?
Question regarding the talk of being like, the novel from the very wearing the proper translated very few quotes from the people. I heard this is a very extremely intimate description of Radha Krishna's pastime. Are those accessible to the voice, or is it especially as a Prabhupada when he made the subject?
Yes, we don't. Until one comes up to a liberated platform, they're not to go into those subject matters. Lord Chaitanya wouldn't discuss Gita Govinda and similar intimate pastimes of Krishna, even the 10th canto Bhagavatam, in the company of ordinary devotees. Srila Prabhupada said that for this, we had to translate and put that in the Krishna book. Otherwise, even there, if a devotee reads that and starts to get agitated or think that this is some material sex life or something like that, or gets even mind mentally gets agitated, then they should stop reading. Until one transcends that type of vision, then one shouldn't hear the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, lest one even momentarily think that this is the same type of activity as what man and woman are experiencing in this material world. One has to come up to the level of pure devotion, Krishna prema. That as a level before one can fully appreciate these pastimes, which have nothing to do with the material world. Apart from the Jai Jagadish Hari, I believe Prabhupada requested the other songs of Gita Govinda not to be sung. I seem to remember that he asked the Chittanandamars not to sing. They used to sing. Any else? Why does it make so much noise? I think it's because it comes to the ear.
Plus the power supply is obtained without the signal coming to the power line. It's a buzzing power supply.
The buzzing is the power supply?
When it runs on batteries, it doesn't make any noise.
No other question?
Nina Sutra did for several hundred years. Nina Sutra was a lot of children took out his eyes. Yes, for several hundred years.
I think he lived for a long time, but I mean, I'm not sure, so I wouldn't like to say.
I can't remember.
One shouldn't say unless he knows. Anyone knows the answer to that? Is it he lived for a long time? 800 years.